Today is the third Sunday in Lent. The readings are from Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 31. And the Gospel of John, chapter 2, verses 13 through 25. Today's message is titled, No Other Gods. Hear the word of God from Exodus chapter 20. And God spoke all these words, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to a thousand generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his manservant or his maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Here ends the first lesson. The second lesson is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand miraculous signs, and Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews, and foolishness to the Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the second chapter. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found men selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple area, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, he said, "Get these out of here! How dare you turn my father's house into a market?" His disciples remembered that it is written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." Then the Jews demanded of him, "What miraculous sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." The Jews replied, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you are going to raise it in 3 days?" But the temple he had spoken of was his body. And after he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled he had said. Then they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken. Now, while he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many people saw the miraculous signs he was doing and believed in his name. But Jesus would not entrust himself to them, for he knew all men. He did not need man's testimony about man, for he knew what was in a man. The Gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God of inconceivable power, incomprehensible glory, immeasurable mercy, unspeakable kindness, look on us in your tender love and show your rich mercy and compassion to us and those who pray with us. Amen. I had a moment earlier this week, a moment I would like to share with you, for this moment is in a direct manner. It demonstrates that God is God. Some would say serendipity. I answer sovereignty. Some would say chance or accident, to which I answer ascendancy. Some would say I am grasping at straws, to which I answer, it is the Lord. The moment that gave me this great aha at the beginning of the week was in preparing the bulletin for this Sunday, March 7th. I had already began the transforming of the Sunday, February 28th bulletin for this Sunday's use. I had begun by moving sections back and forth of the bulletin. I begin with the readings for next week. For I take it from the back of the bulletin and I place it between the lessons and the gospel in the bulletin for me to easily find, to remind me I need to update those sections, and also easy to find for reading through the lessons. The moving of the scripture says you have to still update this. I then turn my attention to updating the section of the bulletin, which is the small catechism of Martin Luther. So I began pulling from last year's third Sunday in Lent the excerpt from Luther's small catechism for our worship, use in worship today. I was pulling in a portion of the bulletin I had created by gleaning several sources well over a year ago. Just let that sink in. It was put together well over a year ago. Keep that in mind. Created that long ago for use on the third Sunday in Lent. As I was pulling in this section, I was not paying attention as to what was actually covered, as I was focusing on the formatting. And then after the formatting, I read through the section to make sure the format did exactly what I desired. And after that formatting, I was reading through, and this is when I noted, it's the Ten Commandments we're walking through. The Ten Commandments this Sunday, the third Sunday in Lent. After that section of the small catechism of Martin Luther was set to my satisfaction, I turned my attention to the lessons that I moved earlier. And that's when the sovereignty of the Lord God shone forth. I'd said to myself, you've got to be kidding. No way. Are you serious? I was dumbfounded. I was gobsmacked. I mean, I was staring at the first reading for the third Sunday in Lent. And the first reading of the year B from the Revised Common Lectionary is signed for the third Sunday in Lent this year. It was none the less than Exodus chapter 20. The place in Holy Scriptures the Lord God gives the Ten Commandments. In this moment, in this manner, at the beginning of preparing for Sunday, March 7th bulletin, the Lord was showing, I am the Lord your God. I did not plan for the Ten Commandments to fit with the reading from today. God put it together. I looked up the first lesson from last year. Last year's lectionary, the year A lectionary for the third Sunday in Lent, the reading's Exodus chapter 17. No connection to the Ten Commandments. So there's really no reason last year for me to put the Ten Commandments on the third Sunday in Lent. I just put it in that order last year. As done last year. But the Lord has shown his sovereignty this year. I was amazed. This is the Lord's doing. Exodus chapter 20, verse 1. And God spoke all these words. This is the place to begin our focus this morning. It's essential to settle in your mind and settle in your soul who the speaker is here. Who is the giver of these words? Who speaks these words? Elohim, God. God is the one speaking. God is the one giving these words. It makes these words divine. It makes these words of divine origin. These words are not gleanings of human undertaking. These are the words of God. Exodus chapter 20, verse 2. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. From the Hebrew, it's Anokhi Yahweh Elohecha. I, Yahweh, am your God. The Lord himself is the one speaking, using the name the Lord revealed to Moses at the burning bush. The name that is the proper name of the God of Israel. And the Lord God is emphasizing the relationship, deliverer of the people. The Lord God of Israel, delivering them out of slavery and bondage in Egypt. It is this context. I am the Lord your God who delivered you from bondage and slavery in Egypt to be my chosen people. That the Lord speaks these words, these commands, these words, and God spoke. The meaning of the Hebrew translated and spoke, it carries the meaning of to declare, to command. Hence, these are the Ten Commandments. Over the years, comic strips have commented on the Ten Commandments. I pulled up one strip from years ago. It's a Frank and Ernest comic strip. Do you remember Frank and Ernest comics? Well, in this Frank and Ernest comic strip from years ago, there is a drawing of being in a sort of like a cave, and then two tablets are leaning against a wall, and the two tablets are easily discernible as the Ten Commandments because you see the numbers on them, 1 through 3, and so forth, and 10. And then there's three bearded men which they're talking, and one man is saying to the other, he fired me because I wanted him to call them the Ten Suggestions. How the years have changed since then. For the Ten Commandments really are treated as the Ten Suggestions. Keep the Sabbath holy is oftentimes ignored. Adultery and fornication, well, they're acceptable. It's just an affair. Friends with benefits, one night stands, any type of word. Lying is termed spin. So now instead of he fired me, there would be words like we hired you. And the Lord God said, it's right in the line, there at the very beginning, for in all this, all the rest lies. Exodus chapter 20, verse 3. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall have no other gods upon, above, or over me. The Lord God is to be first, foremost, above, and beyond all other things. As we will soon answer to the query, what does this mean for us? We are to fear, love, and trust God above anything else. For an expanded expounding, I turn to Martin Luther's large catechism. You are to have no other gods. That is, you are to regard me alone as your God. What does this mean? And how is it to be understood? What does to have a God mean? Or what is God? Answer, a God is the term for that to which we are to look for all good and in which we are to find refuge in all need. Therefore, to have a God is nothing else than to trust and believe in that one with your whole heart. As I have often said, it is the trust and faith of the heart alone that make both God and an idol. If your faith and trust are right, then your God is the true one. Conversely, where your trust is false and wrong, there you do not have the true God. For these two belong together, faith and God. Anything on which your heart relies and depends, I say, that is really your God. The intention of this commandment, therefore, is to require true faith and confidence of the heart, which fly straight to the one true God and cling to him alone. What this means is, see to it that you let me alone be your God, and never search for another. In other words, whatever good thing you lack, look to me for it and seek it from me. And whenever you suffer misfortune and distress, crawl to me and cling to me. I myself will give you what you need and help you out of every danger. Only do not let your heart cling to or rest in anything else. That's from Luther's Large Catechism. This perspective is the basis of this year's hope that we have in our theme. Our hope is in the Lord. For he who promised is faithful. As we cope with, deal with the challenges, sufferings, the hardships brought about by the coronavirus, our focus and our source of deliverance must be with our eyes and prayers fixed on and clinging to the Lord our God alone. Or as Luther described, which I read just a moment ago, whatever good thing you lack, look to me for it and seek it from me. And whenever you suffer misfortune and distress, crawl to me and cling to me. I myself will give you what you need and help you out of every danger. Only do not let your heart cling to or rest in anyone else. The Lord God, as our God, speaks the words that are essential to living in relationship with the Lord our God. And the Lord our God speaks the words that are foundational for relationship to others. An open and honest hearing of these Ten Commandments will see and taste that these commands are good for our hearts, our soul, and to be lived out in our daily lives. The psalm appointed in the Revised Common Lectionary for Year B, the third Sunday in Lent, is Psalm 19. Here's a few verses from Psalm 19, verses 7 through 11. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Walk through each of these commandments, and then turn with a discerning eye to what is happening in today's world, where there's brokenness, where there's suffering, where there's war, where there's destruction, where there are things that are not righteous. The discerning eye will see that at least two commandments are broken. For there is one, someone who wanted something that did not belong to them. A coveting rose inside the person's heart and burst forth in the breaking of another commandment. Lying, cheating, stealing, killing, or covetousness, bearing the fruits of unrighteousness. Building to the point that people are desiring to be their own God, declaring what is good and what is right and true, irrespective of the truth that the Lord God has declared in his most holy word. For example, Matthew chapter 19, verse 4. Haven't you read, he replied, that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female? This desire to hold on to the things of the Lord God, they're seen as foolishness, being old-fashioned, out of date, out of touch with what we know today, what's happening today. Holding to the core Christian faith, declaring what marriage is the proper place of intimacy and the benefit and health of children. And now in many places is declared holding that position. Marriage is man and wife, husband and wife for the benefit of children. And that holding that view is declared criminal in many places nowadays. Holding on to the basics of the faith and truth in light of the Christian worldview is said to be a Neanderthal, as that word has been tossed around in the news recently this week. Yet, we are being faithful to what the Lord, the one and only true God, has spoken. And trying to stay true, holding these truths up before our eyes as a mirror into our souls, we see how fallen and broken in heart and soul we truly are. We see that living up to God's standard of righteousness is out of our human ability. Just as Israel was delivered from a place they had no strength or might to set themselves free, so the mighty hand of the Lord stretched forth to deliver from Egypt. You and I are in a place that we have no human ability to set ourselves free. So the arms of the Lord were stretched out and nailed to a cross to deliver us. Foolishness, says the world. We answer, redeeming grace by God's gift of grace. It's written in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent, I will frustrate. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. We preach Christ crucified. As Jesus was clearing the temple court with a whip he made out of the cords, he was crying out, get these out of here! How dare you turn my Father's house into a market? Instead of learning the faith lesson of the proper care and reverence for the Father's house, the people demanded a sign to prove Jesus had the authority to do as he had just done. By what authority do you clear this place? They could not see the false god of greed had arisen in the place that the Lord God, the Father, is to be worshipped and prayed to alone. No other gods. This time of coronavirus has given us an opportunity to refocus, to keep the Sabbath day holy, and gather for worship the Lord God alone. All the other accoutrements have been stripped away from where our hearts, so we can gather in worship, in prayer, praise, offering, hearing the scripture, and reading the scripture, hearing it proclaimed. We preach Christ crucified. To the question of authority, Jesus answered, it is written in John chapter 2, verse 19. Jesus answered, destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days. Crucify me, and I will rise again in 3 days. We preach Christ crucified. I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. However, Aldous Huxley, author of the dystopian novel A Brave New World, he let the cat out of the bag years and years ago regarding and believing in no God. Essentially making oneself one's own God. He wrote in 1937 in Ends and Means, he wrote thus, he is also concerned to prove there is no valid reason why he personally should not do as he wants to do. For myself, as for no doubt for most of my friends, the philosophy of meaninglessness was essentially an instrument of liberation from a certain system of morality. We objected to the morality because it interfered with our sexual freedom. The supporters of this system claimed that it embodied the meaning, the Christian meaning, they insisted, of the world. And then Huxley goes on to write that it was about justifying ourselves in our erotic revolt. Either the Lord is God, or we make our own gods, usually ourselves as our God, so that we can do what we want, whenever we want, and who is anyone else to say? If you get the first commandment, you shall have no other gods. If you get rid of that commandment, you shall have no other gods. The other commandments, they fall by the wayside. Thus it begins here, I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. And this is reinforced as what we're doing here this morning, gathered as the body of Christ, obeying, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Week in and week out, setting apart this time to gather as the body of Christ helps tremendously to have no other gods. Especially keeping ourselves from setting ourselves up as our own gods. The Lord God has declared no other gods. The one who declared no other gods is the Lord God who loves you so greatly that he gave his only begotten son to die for you, to deliver you from sin and death, to be his own chosen children. With the one true God loving you so greatly, providing the way of redeeming salvation for your soul through his only begotten son, freely giving of himself to be crucified on the cross for you. Why on earth would you ever turn to another God, a false God? No other God seems to be a no-brainer. John chapter 2, verse 22. So when he, Jesus, was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he said this, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had spoken. Jesus, the crucified and risen one, the living Lord and God, and there shall be no other gods than the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. One God, now and forever. Amen. And amen.